What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Lead 360 Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Waite, and it is so good to be with you for another episode. And today's episode is going to be a Q&A. Now, this format comes from the questions that I get as I speak to audiences, as I coach people all around the world, and then also from you, those of you who put your questions in via email. And you can send your questions on the social media platforms that you find me on, or through email at LGCY for legacy, leadership at gmail.com. So you can send your questions via email. You can send me a private message on Instagram, Facebook, wherever it is that you see me. Even on the podcast down below, you can comment. If it's on YouTube, you can comment in the show notes. But wherever you find this, you can send your questions as well. But one of the things that I always do whenever I am speaking on stages or to an audience is I give out sticky notes. And these sticky notes, I ask questions. And two questions I ask is, now that you've learned a little bit more about me, because in my talks, I go, you know, deep dive into kind of my journey, my story. You see the glory, but people don't know the story. And so I aim to share my journey in the 20-year process it took me to get to where I'm at today. And one of the questions is, now that you know something about me, what question would you ask me if we were sitting down having a cup of coffee one-on-one? Nobody else around, just you and I. What question would you want to know? The next question I ask is, what do you believe is one obstacle that is standing in your way from your personal or professional success? And so I collect these sticky notes. I collect these questions and I put them in a box and I go through them and I read them and I answer them. And what I started doing now is answering them on the podcast, because if you're listening to this and you're probably thinking, oh, that's great, Anthony, but you know, I'm not leading those people. Well, if you're leading anybody, chances are if one person has that question, there's probably a lot more out there that have the same question. And so whenever you're looking at these questions, I want you to think about how you would answer them, because there's somebody out there that's probably that you're leading that's going to want to know this question as well. And if you have an answer for them or a way that you would figure it out, then it gives you your unique perspective. And so that's what I've been able to do over the years. And I got thousands of sticky notes and I thought, well, why not use them for the podcast? So here we go. All right. So to me, three questions. And what I do is I pull them out of the stack of sticky notes. I don't have any notes around me. This is just me coming off the top of my head and off the cuff as if I would be answering it in real time. So the first question, how do I keep going whenever I feel like I failed? Or how will I know I did good enough? Now, this question is interesting because the first thing we have to do is redefine what failure is and understand what failure is. I think many people have a flawed perception of what failure truly is. And if I look back at my life, and if I didn't define failure and what it was, I would have felt and quit a long time ago, because I failed so many times in life. So I thought. And what I realized is that failure isn't final until you quit. Now, you might make a lot of mistakes. You might have a couple of times where you fall down. But as long as you don't fail to get back up, then you never really fail. And what do I mean by this? So oftentimes we live in a world where, you know, you see people who will call you a failure. You'll feel like a failure. You'll, you know, fail at something. You fail at a test. And in grade school or college or whatever, yeah, you take a test, and if you didn't make the grade, you get a fail, F for failure. But that doesn't mean that you're a failure. I know many of high school dropouts. I know many people who, you know, didn't do too well in college or do well in school go on to do great things. And if I look back on my life, I had a 1.8 GPA in high school, but yet I was still able to be in the medical field, get into the medical field, go to school, and now I have multiple degrees. And that 1.8 GPA at a time in my life where I was broken didn't break me. And so I want you to understand that you have to define what failure looks like for you. You know, when I look at myself as a husband and a father and a leader in my home, people say, well, how did you become, you know, a good man, or what made you decide to become the best version of yourself, you know, as a husband, as a father, as a leader for your family? Well, I didn't know what success looked like as a man. So what I did was I looked at what failure was to me. And when I look at my father, you know, he was the example of what failure looked like, what not to do. And I figured that if I can just look at what failure, and I can define what failure looks like, and I stay away from that, then I will have a greater chance of success. And then as I grow, as I become more mature, and I started setting my core values and what I wanted and what I desired and really, you know, what I want my legacy to be, then I was able to set up this mission, vision, and purpose for my life as a husband, as a father, as a leader, and really what my household and our core values would be as a family. And so when you're looking at this, you know, I want you to understand that you keep going because you understand this simple notion that failure isn't final until you quit. And when I realized that, then for me, quitting's not an option. No matter how hard things get, quitting is just not in the vocabulary. And if you have that mentality, then you're willing to push through and persevere and overcome. But most people today, when they hit a barrier or they hit a wall, they fall down and they fail to get back up. And yes, I would say that that would be considered a failure because you gave up, you quit. And my 8-year-old boy, he knows we do not quit, we push through. Now, I say that, but you know, there are times when you got to realize that maybe you're pursuing the wrong goals or the wrong aspirations. But at the end of the day, if you're just getting started and you're looking at trying to be a better version of yourself, you're pushing yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and you're trying to muster up the courage to keep going, I want you to understand, why did you start in the beginning? What made you start this journey anyway? There had to have been a reason for you to take action. And if you understand the why behind why you're doing this, then that why should be bigger than any problem or obstacle that you face. You know, when I was coming to the military, they always say, remember where you come from. And I said, well, that there's some truth to that, because when I joined the military, I was, you know, homeless and I was struggling. I was at rock bottom. And I realized that no matter how hard the deployment is, no matter how hard it is, you know, taking care of patients and being in these positions where people's lives were in my hands, nothing was worse than going back to where I came from. Nothing was worse than being homeless, like being deployed, being in some pretty bad environments. That had nothing compared to where I came from. And that why, right, that why, I never want to go back to that. That why drove me and pushed me through those hard times. And what I realized is that those hard times created a stronger me. And whenever you look at life and it becomes easy, right, I think you got to get ready for some hard times, because you have yet to build the courage, the resilience, and the mindset that says, I can get through this. And so what keeps you going? Even when you feel like you failed, understand that failure is not a feeling. Feeling is not facts. When you fail, that's when you look at the results of your life and you say, damn, I'm in a bad place. But here's the cool thing about that. You can get out of that place too. It all rises and falls with you. And you know, when I looked at my life, yeah, I felt like a failure plenty of times in my life. But that didn't mean that I was a failure. Because if I was a failure, then I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So what keeps you going is you have to identify what failure looks like to you. You have to understand that failure isn't final until you quit. And then also remember why you even started this venture, whatever it is you're trying to be successful at. And if that why is big enough, then you'll be able to persevere. Okay, so the second part of this is, how will I know I did good enough? This is a big one, and I really like this question, because for so long I would look for validation from other people. I would you know, try to look for external solutions for an internal problem. And the whole time, no matter what people told me, how much they cared about me, how much they loved me, how good I was, how much, you know, they believed in me, I never really took this and internalized it, because I wasn't proud of me. And so how do you know you did good enough? Because you are able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm proud of you. It's not your parents. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your boss. It's not your coworkers. Stop trying to impress people. Instead, impress yourself, to where when you look at the mirror and you see yourself, you are proud of who you're becoming. And that requires you to kind of reprogram your self-image and your self-worth and know what your values are. And for me, it was a long time trying to get other people's approval. And when I realized that I needed the approval, that I needed to be approve of myself. And when I began to love myself, I began to appreciate myself. And then I began to value myself and then respect myself. And then that respect turned into me having pride in myself and how I operate. Because when you operate from a sense of pride, you no longer chase perfectionism. There's an internal drive that allows you to not have to chase perfection, but be in progression. And no matter what happens, good or bad, you continue to have that pride, that sense of self-pride. And I think that's what we lack in today's world, especially amongst men, is that lack of that sense of pride of who you're becoming, because we're so busy comparing and competing of who we are not. And I want you to understand that nobody will ever, ever tell you you're good enough, and you will believe it until you believe you're good enough. You want more respect? Respect yourself. You want more compassion? Be more compassionate to yourself. You want more love? Then love yourself. You can never get what you do not possess. Like, no matter how much my wife tells me she loves me, if I don't love me, then it'll never be a match, and it'll never be good enough. And so that's how you know you did good enough, is whenever you define what good is. Right? Is good just waking up and doing the bare minimum? Is good getting out there and being great at every single thing that you do, pursuing this excellence? What does good look like? And when you define that, then you understand there's a measuring point to being great and to being good. And you'll say, okay, did I hit the mark or did I not? Is it good enough or is it not? And that's something that only you can define. When we leave it up to chance, we won't ever hit it. And when we leave it up to other people to decide, we will always be disappointed. Okay, question number two, does the internal battle ever end? And I think this comes from the question with the mindset, that negative belief system and that tug of war that we all have with pursuing our greatness and feeling incompetent or unconfident. And this internal battle, you know, I can relate to this, and the internal battle is real, and I don't think it ever goes away. You see, our thoughts are feelings and energy cannot be created or destroyed. It's ever flowing. And what I have found that no positive self-talk, no affirmations, no book has ever helped me get rid of the negative thinking. Now, I was able to change it and flip it or reprogram it and kind of use it in a positive manner, but nothing I said or did ever made those go away. And I don't think they ever go away. And I don't think they should, because that's exactly what you need as a driver for your greatness, right? Like, how do I perform at a high level? Because I use that internal negative thought process or that negative thinking and that self-talk, I use it as a conversation between myself, and it allows me to have this internal drive that proves that I am better, that I am capable, that I am worthy. And because there's little thoughts that say, you're not good enough. Who do you think you are? You'll never be enough, right? All the things that we've been programmed, you know, to believe at a young age, if we don't fight back to it and talk back to it, then it'll defeat us every time. And I don't think this internal battle will ever end, because it's what keeps us going. For example, whenever I have a negative thought or something, I call it the voice of compromise, right? Whenever I have a thought or a feeling that's compromising my core values or my character because I made a promise to myself, then I use that as fuel, and it lets me know that that's exactly what I should be doing, right? We're doing the 360 challenge, the 30-day 360 challenge. One of the tactics is taking a cold shower. For 1 minute, like, that's not bad at all. I've done that, you know, just for fun. But I had this voice of compromise say, well, you know, you can do it later. You know, it's going to suck. You know, just take a hot shower. You know, you deserve it. You know, it's not that, you know, you don't need to do this, et cetera, right? Well, problem was, I already made the promise to myself and my group that we were going to do, this is one of the daily tactics, was a cold shower for 1 minute. Now, had I not held myself accountable, then I would have compromised my character, because when we make a promise to ourselves or we tell ourselves we're going to do something and we don't do it, what we do is we get a crack in our foundation, which is our character. And it might not hurt you now, but over time, you keep lying to yourself. What happens is you get more cracks in that foundation. And then when life applies pressure or something happens that is detrimental to your character, what happens is you crumble under pressure. You crumble. And people don't realize that, but it's just like a house, the foundation, right? If it has cracks in your foundation, you might weather the storm, but if a hurricane comes or a tornado or a severe thunderstorm or something, you know, a tree falls on it, you're going to sustain a lot more damage because that foundation is not built on solid ground. And so the same thing goes for us. That internal battle, use it as a driver, as a tool to sharpen your mind, to build resilience. And so anytime that you have that negative thought or that negative belief, prove it wrong, right? Many people are trying too hard to prove people right. And I'll tell you, that if you can just keep it as a chip on your shoulder, you can use it as a powerful force. That's how I've been able to, you know, do Ironmans. That's how I've been able to compete in bodybuilding. That's how I've been able to excel in the military. That's how I've been able to excel as a father, as a husband, as a leader, is, you know, anytime things get hard, I just kind of had this internal dialogue, like, watch me, just watch. And it's not proven other people, you know, proven it to anybody else but myself. And that little voice that says you're not good enough, you'll never be enough, because those negative thoughts come from programmed beliefs that we've been given by a family, by society, by our social circle, by ourself. And if we don't have this kind of battleground mentality, it will beat us down. And so for me, I'm constantly going to war with that little voice inside. And I'm proving it to myself that I am good enough, that I am building the character, that I'm no longer that person that was struggling or such a loser or a failure, that I'm actually becoming the person that I say I am, I want to be. And that's a person who's disciplined, who's fortified in their faith, who is leading by example, who is leading with integrity and building and a man of character. And so you have to define what that person looks like for you, and what does he or she do, and how do you prove it to yourself that you're becoming more like that person instead of the person you are today. That is that battle that never ends, and it shouldn't ever end, and you shouldn't wish for it to end. Don't wish for it to be easy. Wish that you get better and work to get better, right? Because wishing and hoping is not a strategy. So last question, how do you put yourself first? Now, this is a good question for many of you out there, because as you get to higher levels and you start serving more people, it's very easy to put yourself on the back burner. And it's a noble way of saying, you know, well, you know, I'm helping all these people, and, you know, I'm being humble, and I'm going to put myself to the side so I can help other people. Here's the thing. You cannot help anybody until you help yourself. It's kind of like the airplane analogy, you know, put your mask on first. But we have so many people out there who are, you know, preaching about fitness and health, but yet they're, you know, 50 pounds overweight. They're preaching about being a good man and a good husband and a good father and a good leader, but yet they're, you know, cheating on their wife. And I want you to understand that the greatest asset that you can invest in is you. And if I can't take care of me, then I have no business trying to take care of you. If I can't lead me, then I should not be trying to lead you. And the same thing goes for you. So you have to put yourself first, because everything comes from you. And so how are you going to pour from an empty cup, right? That old adage, you can't pour from an empty cup. Well, you can't pour from an empty character either, can you? And so every day you got to be invested in yourself so that you can invest in people. Like, I can't give my kids the best version of me if I'm not striving to become the best version of me. And I want you to understand that it might feel selfish to put yourself first, because people have told you to be humble and to stop. But here's the thing about putting yourself first. When you put yourself first, you should be doing things that are growing you, not slowing you from your potential. And what I see most times is people say, I'm putting myself first, so I'm going to go out with the guys and have a drink, or I'm going to go party, or I'm going to go to the football game. It's okay to have fun, but understand this. By doing that, does it serve you, or does it stop you from reaching your full potential and giving people the best version of you? You see, for me, putting myself first means I go to the gym every day and I work out. Putting myself first means that I come into my office and I read and I learn and I study the Bible or books, and I grow as a man, as a being, as a human. And putting myself first means that I am learning something that's going to push me forward as a father, as a husband, as a leader, so that I can pour into my children and to my spouse. And also as a leader in the military. So putting myself first means that I got to be leading myself first. And so when you're looking at putting yourself first, what are you doing to put yourself first? Are the things that you're doing showing love to yourself? Is it showing appreciation for yourself? Is it showing compassion, respect for yourself? Or are you doing things that are demoralizing your character? That's the question to ask. And so what I have found too is that when I put myself first, and my wife and my kids see the fruit, or the people that I lead see the fruit, no longer do they have a problem with me putting myself first, because they know they're going to reap the reward. They're going to see the fruit. It's not just about me, that I'm not doing it for my own self, you know, benefit. That when Anthony puts himself first, you better believe that there's going to be enough for everybody around him. And whoever sits at the table with him, whoever's in his circle of influence, they're going to get a piece of that fruit too. And so the same thing goes for you. You have to put yourself first, because if you don't, you will lack in the ability to serve others. So those are three questions. I hope you found value in these. Again, if you find value in these episodes, please share them with somebody you lead or somebody you love. This is how the message gets out to the masses. And I appreciate every one of you that tune in, who share the show. And as always, if you're looking to grow even further and continue the conversation, I have a free Lead 360 Facebook group. The link's down below in the show notes. And also my one-on-one, my group coaching is open, the Lead 360 Academy. And if you're looking to level up your life, your leadership, or your business of influencing other people, then think about jumping in there and scheduling a one-on-one call, and we can see if it's a fit for you. But we have an amazing group of people. We have calls every Thursday night, and we would love to have you on board. So if that's something you're interested in, you can click the link below as well, and I'll see you there. Have a great one, guys.